Radio, the author of countless reflections broadcast by us, a Benedictine intellectual who has given us guidance and help in understanding the scriptures over and over again. He was back in Rome for meetings and found time to update us on new developments in his life and work. Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright, the delegate of the Abbot Primate of the Benedictine Confederation for Monastic-Muslim Relations. He presently teaches at a Benedictine university in Lisle, Illinois, USA. Abbot Timothy is also the author of the recently published book, No Peace Without Prayer, in which he presents the case for developing the faith in the Word of God by establishing groups of Christians and Muslims dedicated to sharing their respective divine word in ways that enhance the other. Stopping off in Rome for a series of meetings, I spoke to Abbot Timothy Wright, who reflected on the past 4 or 5 months, focusing on how his research on the relationship between the Benedictines and Islam has developed. Perhaps the most significant element in that development, he says, is his appointment to an academic post to a Benedictine university.
I was a little hesitant to go there, partly because I didn't quite know what the American system would be like compared to the British system, and I wasn't quite sure how my work in the dialogue between Islam and Christianity would be received. So I was really delighted to find that in this university, 6,000 or 7,000 students on this campus site, is 25% of them are Muslims. And I was delighted to be welcomed by them, and their kindness, their sensitivity, their willingness to listen to dialogue. And as a result of that, I've been able to take one or two initiatives and develop some of the things that I wrote about in my book, No Peace Without Prayer, Encouraging Muslims and Christians to Pray Together, a Benedictine Perspective, which were written with a sense of hope, with a sense of forward vision, but not with the sense of practical experience on the ground. It was more an academic treatment of the options that are open to, from the Benedictine tradition, to Lectio Divina, to praying together, to listening to each other with regard to the scriptures of each, and being able to identify similarity and difference, and not trying to cover over difference, but to acknowledge it and understand it. So at Benedictine University, one of the initiatives that we started was a small group meeting once a week for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, focusing on a topic such as love or hope or the truth, and a group of 6 or 7 people, Muslim, Christian, roughly half and half. And over the 8 or 9 weeks that we used to meet during the semester before Christmas, we established a pattern and an understanding whereby the text would be proposed by one of the members, a Christian text from the Bible and a Muslim text from the Holy Quran, and each of us would comment on, in turn, on each of those texts, on the single theme. And what was remarkable about those meetings was that there was a lot of similarity in appreciation of the gift of revelation through the sacred scriptures, Muslim and Christian. But there was also difference, and there was also subtle difference as well as obvious difference. And yet those differences weren't barriers preventing us being honest or open with each other. These differences were enhancements and enlargements which enabled each of us to appreciate a bigger picture being offered from the revelation from one side or the other. And in a sense, I think all of us grew listening to each other, appreciating that we were humble before the Word of God and able to be clear about where our boundaries were. And for me, that was a wonderful experience of a dialogue of spirituality which was going, obviously, pointing towards the one holy God, but enables us to, in that approach, to recognize that there are different routes to God. And yes, we could be enlarged by remarks from another point of view, but also confirmed in the view that we already had. Confirmed that, yeah, we're on the right road. My vocation is right, be it Christian or Muslim. And the sense that the one God is drawing both of us into that union, that mystical union, that contemplative union, which is ultimately our fulfillment. So that was a wonderful experience for me. And I found that a lot of the academic work I'd done putting the thesis together was starting to bear fruit. And at the same time, almost parallel with that, I was invited to attend a presentation by a local imam for the Muslim community on resurrection. And again, I had a similar sort of experience listening to this professional cleric of the Muslim tradition, very articulate, very sensitive to where his audience, where his congregation were, emotionally, intellectually, etc., spiritually. And I just listened with amazement to the way he spoke about resurrection within their tradition, and was able to agree with so much of how he expressed it, which helped build bridges for me between our two understandings of resurrection. And at no stage was there any sense of him downgrading any other view of resurrection. He was presenting resurrection in a positive, convincing gift that God is offering through the Quran to faithful Muslims, in a similar sort of way that one would expect a Christian preacher to talk about resurrection as, for example, as presented by St. Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians, but in a way that draws others into it apart from the Christian believers. So that was a very important moment to me, and led to me able to take part in their prayers and with the Muslims, and again listen to various people. And perhaps this whole process then came to a different sort of heading, because we had a meeting just before the end of the semester, literally, with the president of the Muslim Student Union, a very lovely guy. And I was saying to him, you know, what can we do about trying to get ourselves organized in this very pressurized university schedule to develop our Lectio Divina? And he came up immediately with the idea, well, why don't you offer it as a course? I said, offer it Lectio Divina as a course? And he said, yes, you'd have the place crowded up. Because what we're interested in is listening to these sacred texts and having someone who can comment on them, not just in a purely academic sense, but in a sense of this is part of our journey and part of God's revelation to us for that journey, and for that journey which we're all on, which is to resurrection, to fulfillment in God. So I thought about it and tried to put something together. Didn't have much optimism that the university authorities at that stage, at such a late stage, would be able to introduce a change. And of course, I was right. Things for the next semester were already planned. But nevertheless, it's possible we may, next academic year, introduce such a thing. But the thing that struck me most was that among those Muslim community, they had challenged my Christian view that so much of our theology and so much of our teaching is deliberately sort of separated from our own practice and our own religious experience. And to see the two presented in such a way that they were knitted together, so that one flowed almost freely between what one would call an academic course, studying the mystical writings, but flowed effortlessly into the personal engagement with the journey into contemplative life, the contemplative experience, and welding the two together. And I thought to myself, yes, and how sad it is that so often in our Christian presentation of theology, whether it be in universities or in schools, is presented as a purely academic subject with a keeping distant from a personal commitment, allowing, therefore, people of belief and non-belief or vague belief or unbelief to take part and not feel threatened. How far that openness, which I'd heard about in our Western tradition in Britain, to some extent here in Rome, and yet on the other side, how the two can be integrated together in a much more complete way. And I'm not saying that my own experience and separating the academic from the individual spiritual engagement is a fixed division, and I'm sure there are many people who in fact are able to do the two, but certainly my experience in creating courses in an academic world, they're very careful about how much personal commitment is required as part of the engagement. So that's been a wonderful insight, and my hope is that as I get into the teaching in my next semester, we'll be starting this January, will be precisely the same thing. I've been asked to talk about the spirituality of the Abrahamic faiths, and the classes are both full at the moment, and involvement, that is to say, 24 in each, and my hope is that I will be able to precisely create the ambience of learning about the experience and the revelation and the sense, the techniques within the scriptures, within the spiritual writings of all these traditions, and yet it also include the personal engagement of each in order for them to reflect personally on it, not in the sense of marking it according to their spiritual intensity, but to enable them to be able to make a more personal judgment as to how they interrelate. And certainly among the Muslim students and many of the Christian students, I'm sure that's why they've volunteered for this course. And that is all, it's something that I'm encouraged by and has made my sense of being in the United States very worthwhile, and particularly appreciative of the invitation to be part of the team at Benedictine University.